Hey winners! Welcome to Winnie's episode 3 of Money Bites, where we explore money, mindfulness, and everything that comes in between in bite-sized discussions. Today we'll delve into what many of us feels like the bane of our personal finance, student loans. Now this can be a complex issue with lots of misguided information out there, which are sometimes told by the servicers themselves. Ugh, this gets me so riled up, and I can go on for days on how frustrating I find the system. But we have to start somewhere. So I'd like to start with the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program, or the PSLF. For those of you working full-time at various government and not-for-profit organizations. First off, thank you for your services. Woo! Seriously. Okay, what gets me so frustrated is due to misinformation. We have at least a handful of teammates every challenge who find out that they've been paying back their student loans for years. But because they were enrolled in the wrong repayment program, none of that qualifies for the loan forgiveness. Oh, it just breaks my heart when we have to break the news and this happens. So today, we're going to get to the bottom of this and figure out what you actually need to do to meet the qualifications for PSLF. I'm going to be playing back a recording from one of Winnie's webinars and super excited to have with us today, Jan Miller. Hey Jan, always good to have you back. Do you want to start with a short intro?
Yeah, sure. So my name is Jan Miller. I'm president of Miller Student Loan Consulting. And what we do here, of course, is help individuals with their student loan, their personal student loan situation.
Awesome. So to start off, private loans versus federal loans. Quite a lot of our users or team members, as I like to call them, are on different kinds of programs, such as the income-based repayment, etc. Mm-hmm. Now, that's only for the federal loans, right?
That's right. Yeah, private loans don't qualify for any of the federal programs. So, you know, income-based repayment or, you know, deferments, things like that, especially as it relates to the federal programs, the private loans don't qualify for them. The private lender themselves may have their own version or payment arrangement option, but it's usually much more limited. For example, Navient has what's called a rate reduction plan, where they will lower your payment based on your income to debt ratio. They'll take a financial statement, and they may even lower your interest rate temporarily in 15-month increments. But it's not a federal program. It's at their discretion, and they either grant it or they don't, and you have to live with their response. Where with federal loans, all the federal programs are governed by federal regulation and subject to that. So the servicer doesn't have a discretionary decision as to whether you qualify. It's just based on whether or not you fit within the requirements of the program or not.
Okay. The next thing that I'm going to ask is, our teammates are in different industries. Quite a few of them are in the nonprofit sector. Mm-hmm. So let's start there. If you are working in the nonprofit sector, Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program also is only for the federal loans, right? Not
That's
for
right.
the private.
Exactly, just federal. And there's three main criteria that are important with the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. Number one, the first thing you want to do is make sure you have qualifying loans. Actually, a very easy way of doing that on the website, National Student Loan Database. You can see a list of all your loans, and literally the word direct should precede everything. Direct Consolidation, Direct Grad Plus, Direct Stafford, and so forth. If it does not have the word direct, or at least the letters DL sub or DL unsub, DL obviously stands for direct loan, if it does not have that in the actual title of the loan, that loan does not qualify for the Public Service Loan Forgiveness Program. It does qualify for IBR, but it doesn't qualify for the 10-year forgiveness. So if that is the case, that's when you want to consolidate your loans, because the very process of consolidation will convert all of your loans that are included in the consolidation into a direct loan. So that's kind of, consolidation is the quick fix for that. So that's number one. You have to have direct loans.
Just number two, there, you mentioned that when you consolidate, you want that to be federal, not into a private consolidation, right?
Oh, yeah, that's a good point. So when I use the term consolidate, I'm really referring to federal student loan consolidation within the federal program. So doing it, you'd actually execute it at studentloans.gov. It would be processed within by Fed Loan Servicing or one of the major federal lenders or servicers, and that sort of thing. When I refer to refinance on the private side, that's a private student loan refinance is a totally different thing. That's where you're actually, based on creditworthiness, refinancing a loan and paying off the federal loans and moving it into a private loan and forfeiting all of your federal program rights. So when you hear me talk about consolidation, just know I'm talking about federal loans. And if I say refinance, I'm referring to a private loan refinance. So within the federal system, you can consolidate your loans. It's often just a great no-brainer way of making sure that you have qualifying loans. And that's the first of three requirements. The second requirement is that you must qualify for a lower payment under one of the four income-driven plans based on your income. Your payment needs to be, under these programs, lower than your 10-year standard. So your 10-year standard is the payment that, if you don't do anything, right when you come out of the grace period, whatever your payment is, that's on a 10-year loan. And basically, that's just a standard term of 10 years. Those payments will pay off the loan in 10 years, and you'll be done with it, interest and principal. If your payment is not lower than that, if you, in other words, you make too much money, and even under IBR, whichever program pays you earn, your payment still is at that amount or greater, then there's not going to be anything left to forgive, because after 10 years of qualified payments, your balance is going to be zero, and therefore there's nothing left to forgive. As a result, you're not going to qualify for any forgiveness. So the second qualifier is to make sure you qualify for a lower payment based on the income-driven plan's qualifications. The third is that, of course, you actually work for a qualifying nonprofit or government agency, 501c3s and so forth. And if you do, you have to work at least 30 hours a week, be considered full-time. And so all payments under one of the income-driven plans made while you're working for a nonprofit will qualify for direct loans. So once you get 120 payments or equal to 10 years of payments, then the rest of the loan will be forgiven tax-free at that time. Those are the main three requirements.
One of the questions that came up was the 10 qualifying payments, do they have to be consecutive, or say you work for a nonprofit, then for a year or two I go work in the for-profit sector, and then I return to the nonprofit, can I still continue to work?
Yeah, you can. So, good okay. question. They do not have to be consecutive, and it doesn't have to be with the same employer. So, you could work for 5 years at a nonprofit and then go work as a fry cook at McDonald's for 2 years, come back and work for a different nonprofit for another 5 years, and after 12 years total, get the 10-year forgiveness at that time, because you'd have a total of 10 years of qualifying payments. So they don't have to be consecutive. So every payment that you make, as long as you have direct loans, every payment that you make under a qualifying plan, like IBR pays you earn, that you make while working for a nonprofit full-time, counts as one. So when you hear the 10-year forgiveness, it's a little bit misleading in that it's really 120 qualifying payments, which, in best case scenario, is going to be done in 10 years, right? Because 120 payments equals 120 months, which is 10 years. But usually it's probably going to take a few months or maybe even longer than 10 years to actually qualify, because, you'll have, you may change jobs, you may have, you may miss the deadline for re-enrollment, those type of things. So you'll never lose what you gain, but There may be hiccups in there that, interrupt the continuity of the program, in which case it'd just take a couple more months to be approved. But once you get to 120, then the rest of the loans were given at that point.
Gotcha. That's great to know. Hope that was helpful, and also hope you can join us for our next episode, where we swing to the other side of the spectrum and meet an entrepreneur in her unorthodox ways of going from 30,000 under in student loans to 30,000 in her savings account in just 18 months. Hope to see you soon.